Our lead is about an employment possibility in Southeast Asia that is disturbing, a topic that may not be suitable for some maybe younger listeners. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The White House has canceled a planned meeting in Laos today with the president of the Philippines. This after the Philippines leader referred to the president of the United States as a, quote, son of a, and used the B word. President Rodrigo Duterte was annoyed that President Obama would raise the issue of extrajudicial killings, something Duterte is seen as promoting to quell drug trafficking and dealing. 2,000 possible drug dealers have died since Duterte took office. For some, these contract killings have become a job.
When I got near this person, who owed a lot to my boss, I went up close and then shot him. The next time I killed was after President Duterte got elected. Since then, I have killed 5 people. That's 6 in all.
That's a young Manila mother with translation. After her husband was enlisted by what she says was a corrupt policeman, she says she was brought onto a team with 3 women. She spoke to Jonathan Head, a reporter for our partner broadcaster, the BBC, who refers to her with a pseudonym, Maria, to protect her from reprisals for speaking out. I asked Jonathan what he knows about those she's shot.
I don't know who she's killed, and she doesn't talk about it. She doesn't like to know either. I do know the profiles of a lot of people who've been killed. I'll give you an example. We went to one neighborhood in Manila, following up some security camera video that we had of a man being shot early in August by what the Philippines call a tandem. It's 2 guys on a motorbike. The back one literally comes up. This guy's at a food stall. She shoots him in the neck. Off he goes. And when we went back to the neighborhood and talked to the wife, the family, all the local officials as well who were there, they said this guy wasn't actually involved in drug dealing. He had been a drug user, but he was involved in illegal gambling, which is another very big business in the Philippines, and that he had a dispute, again, with a policeman about it, and they believed that was the reason he'd been killed. So it's very hard to know why people have been killed and how big they are.
Some members of the Filipino government are suggesting your source is some kind of fake, that she's out somehow to discredit President Duterte's war on drugs.
Yes, I mean, I've heard that from some of his allies, and they're asking us why would she expose herself? The answer is she didn't. We took enormous troubles to make sure that she wasn't identified or identifiable, and it took a huge amount of persuasion to get her to talk. And she was actually really distressed talking about her job for the first time. And I asked her about talking to her children, and she was actually very, very distressed by this, and said that her 9-year-old, she's got 2 kids, her 9-year-old boy had started noticing the money coming home. They hadn't had money before, and asking questions. And she lives with the enormous weight that, you know, what happens if the children find out later on and accuse her of saying, well, you supported our lives by killing other people for money. Anybody who listens to this interview in full will know this woman was genuine.
And you mentioned the pay. How is the compensation for this sort of undertaking?
Well, very good for Filipinos. I mean, the point is, and I think many Filipinos would acknowledge this is a fundamental problem. There's such gross inequality, and there is so little hope of improving yourself, so few opportunities to earn anything above the most miserable subsistence. For her, she was getting something like $110 for killing a drug user, but she has to share that between 3 or 4 people, and she would get something like $440 for killing a drug pusher. In even divided between 3 or 4 people, that's a huge amount of money. And she admitted, she said, you know, it's the money makes a big difference for us. You know, every time I do it, I tell myself I'm doing it for my children.
And Jonathan, the source here, Maria, she suggested to you that she feels trapped in this role.
You know, this is an awfully ugly business. It has certainly rotted the Filipino political system. I don't know if it goes quite as far as President Duterte says it does. He speaks in very dramatic terms about how far it's gone. And at that level, somebody involved in contract killing, because of what they know, is themselves likely to be a target. And in fact, the day that we spoke to Maria, her safe house had been broken, and she was on the move to try and find somewhere else to lie low, and was very worried about what the repercussions of this drug war and all the publicity about it might mean for her and her colleagues.
The BBC's Jonathan Head covered this story from the Philippines. Jonathan, thank you.
You're welcome.
At marketplace.org, look top left where it says mentioned on the air for Jonathan's extended piece plus video. Markets, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up about 0.1% each. London's FTSE is down 0.3%. the end of this month, TiVo, the company that sparked the age of the digital video recorder, will be phasing out support for its original, the Series 1 DVR. First launched in 1999, the Series 1 turned TiVo into a verb. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour has more.
The first time America heard this sound, the evolution of video went into fast forward. People could watch their shows whenever they wanted and strip the commercials out. The tables started to turn on network TV and cable.
Honestly, I would put it up there with the iPhone as one of the key products of the new century, quite frankly.
John Falcone is executive editor of CNET.com. He says DVR ushered in a new era of on-demand, streaming, binge-watching, but these are the very things it now competes with. TiVo itself was bought earlier this year by a company called Rovi for just over $1 billion. It licenses its technology wholesale and still has 10 million subscriber households. Jim Denny is VP of Product Management and Strategy at TiVo.
We've evolved our products and our offerings to more than just DVR.
TiVo's first Series 1 customers were offered lifetime subscriptions. Those subscriptions now end. In hindsight, the idea of a lifetime subscription to anything in digital media seems a little risky. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Christopher Olin, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week, Ben Tolliday. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.